Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire, bonus episodes essentially. This is Stuart here, as you can tell, the dulcet Scottish tones, and joining me today we have Ken.
And the Swedish tones that go bork bork.
Exactly.
Equally dull Swedish tones, duller than your sexy tones.
No, this is the tones of somebody that's had far too much Indian food and not enough coffee.
Well, it's Sunday morning and I felt a slight hangover, although I shouldn't have, but it's like I got my sexy voice on a little bit.
Okay.
I'm telling myself that.
Yeah. thanks for calling me when you're doing your sexy voice, Ken. That's good of you.
You're welcome, Stuart. That's what actually is heard, but in my head, I hear Barry White.
So, today we are reintroducing, basically, what was our members-only content. Back in the day of, I think, 2008, when we reached episode 10 of Podcast on Fire, I think we basically came up with the idea of maybe there was a little of an ego thing where we thought every fucking lyric we waxed, we knew was gold. So all the stuff that was off topic, we cut out the podcast, but we couldn't just throw away gold. We had to recycle it, essentially. So a lot of off topic discussions, outtakes, it's sort of like basically everything you would find on a DVD nowadays. Like your outtakes, your deleted scenes, and all this information is usually saved somewhere else. So we saved all this on our forum. And of course, with like the Facebook becoming more advanced, introducing groups, like it kind of took over from like the forums you would find on websites. So we thought basically that kind of made our members-only section redundant. So now, for those who like never had the chance to have a look at our members-only before the spam porn bots descended upon us.
I had a good time cleaning that out. that was fun. Not.
So, yes, we've salvaged
the lottery bots, by the way. The lottery bots do it. I like
those.
Is it
lottery bots?
Yeah, I like those, though. And the iPhone bots, those I liked.
I could do with winning more iPads.
Yeah.
I've just to click on this goldfish. Yeah, easy. Like, why is there 50 windows opening up? What's going on?
Five computers later.
So.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, but what we really did there to keep that going, that after a while in that history, we started doing less funny outtakes and more extra content, like exclusive reviews, like doing a review that we introed on the show or promoted on the show, but said, like, if you want to hear it, go to the forum.
Like, and Jackie Chan series, mm-hmm. We spoke two films on the podcast, and our third film would have been on, like, the members-only section.
Mm-hmm. And that is now the bonus episode format on the website, so because the website still got visitors and the forum doesn't, so it's still there, but we're not doing, like, mini chunks of outtakes and banter and stuff like that. It's always with an intent to, like, review exclusively on the website. And those are podcasts, therefore, that are only on the site. Obviously not on iTunes or Stitcher or any podcatcher at all. So including this one. So we're still the Podcast on Fire audience, site audience. They still have this exclusive to them. As we've only moved it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
For this first, what we've kind of dubbed Dusting Off the Members Only Archive bonus episode, we start, as Stu said, on episode 10. Holy hell, episode 10. That's a long, long time ago. We just posted 149. And Stu assembled at that time as 20 minutes of extra material for you across 9 clips that I've clumped together. And at this time, the show, it was only one show, Podcast on Fire. It was hosted by Stu, by Mike Banner, and me. So that's the additional voice that you hear in these recordings is Mike Banner, the funny one. Two funny ones, and then there's me.
No, obviously, of course you bring it as well, Ken.
I'm so different at that point. It's so scary. Like, I'm very timid, but it's all good. It's all good. It's 5 years ago. So, among other things contained in these bits, because we're not going to intro each and every one, is you got random banter, friendly ribbing, mainly between Mike and Stu. They are friends, but it sounds, it's friendly ribbing. I guarantee you that. We talk of who's the better twin out of Charlie Choi and Gillian Chung. Stu got a question about if I have any fan websites. At that time, I had a fan section on the forum. Didn't last long. And we look at the still amazing YouTube clip of Andy Lau leaping off stage to aid a fan who's being roughed up by security guards. And you can actually see that clip as well. It's it doesn't have an English title on YouTube, so I created a tiny URL for you. So go to, if you want to watch that with us, tinyurl.com/AndyBox. That's Andy Boxing. That's... See what I did there? Clever. So that's what we're gonna do. How do you feel about like going back in time and listen to yourself so many years ago? I know you don't generally like to, but do you fear going back 5 years in the timeline to listen to how you sound?
I think we just sounded like so young and full of hope.
Yeah. that's changed.
But it's still fucking mind-blowing to think that it's been 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, even this is the sixth year, if we want to be technical about it, because 2007 was the start of the podcast, but then it bled into 2008 quite quickly. So
aye. But still, it's mind-boggling. Like, you could probably say, it's like thinking back 5-6 years, like, what's podcasts going about then? It's like, they were. Like, we felt like we were late to the game, and now we're like 6 years in.
Yeah, and if we want to tout ourselves a bit, I think we're not leading the way necessarily, but we're certainly in our own way a bit unique, as are other Asian cinema podcasts as well. I'm not ranking us higher, but I think we've created an image for ourselves, and I'm glad it was Podcast on Fire and not the Podcast Cometh. I like that at the time. I don't know what I was thinking. Again, younger.
So, I was going to say, like, it just doesn't even sound like Asian cinema, but it's the same with Podcast on Fire.
Yeah.
But that was always like the mind-blowing thing when I went to like the Terracotta Festival. Mm-hmm. And Joey was introducing me to all these different groups of people. And like I was being introduced as like the host of Podcast on Fire. And people were like, oh, like City on Fire. Prison on Fire, and like, they're just like the right crowd knows what it means.
Yeah. It's just me being like very specialized. Okay, it's based on a known Yuen Biu movie, but it's not a good name.
It's a podcast comic. A known Donnie Yen 3D movie.
Oh yes,
that's I'm waiting to see that one. I don't know how the hell that's gonna happen, but yeah. So that's a different subject altogether, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that respect, I think, well, anyone who owns a copy of, I was just about to say, Postman on Fire.
Postman on Fire, that would be fucking heavy duty film, that. Look at him, he's on fire! Someone do something. Postman Fight Back.
Yes.
I've kind of gone totally off point, haven't I? You falling asleep, Stu?
Host!
It's just not my area of expertise, so I can't feel like I could provide anything to the table.
Fair enough. Has Ekin Cheng ever dressed up silly in a film?
Oh, he has. He has the... Yeah. That Black Rose film, he was in Robin from Batman and Robin, sort of.
Really?
Gear. I was also thinking of the other one with him and Vicky Zhao.
My God, something. I don't remember.
Along the lines of that. I'm sure he had but, like a perm and sunglasses. Well, a perm and thick glasses. Almost like a game show host.
Have I like ambushed the podcast and veered it completely off track?
No. Yeah, but it'll work up for like many extras.
Good, because it feels like we've been rambling. I've been rambling for about half an hour now.
42 minutes.
You see, Stu is still a little bit aggressive. I'm saying no, it's okay. I'm forgiving and stuff, but still, you ruin it.
No, no, you never ruin it. I'm just
verbatim. You ruined it.
That was a weak effort to backtrack, then, Stu.
Yeah, I kind of stopped that... because I'm on YouTube trying to find this video clip.
Right. Yeah, there was no heart. There was no heart in that. No, no, Mike.
Yeah, looking at YouTube now.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to shoot my load in one go. I'll save some other sites for any other podcasts I'm on.
Lovely.
If I'm back, actually, after the treatment I received from you tonight, Sutherland.
You know how guilty I feel now.
Not at all.
Well, there's plenty.
Okay.
I just give up. Okay, well, that's not true, but...
It's a bit of a good acting there.
Strangely enough, I did get an email recently from someone just asking, like, what are the Shore Brothers up to nowadays? So, thinking, I just went onto Google, found Shore Brothers' website, sent them the links, and you'll probably find your answers there. But then I got an email back saying, well, no, I'm wondering what, like, each and every actor that's worked in Shore Brothers, what are they doing now? So yeah, he didn't get an answer.
So it's he wanted something more extensive from you, as. You're not inclined to be a bit of a smartass about it and just write something, you know, write
they
some sarcasm back.
They're all now.
They're old.
Yeah.
It's adult diapers era for them.
Little sigh of relief to get half that stuff off my chest.
I hate you, don't email me. Unless it's PayPal donations. Mm-hmm. And other sorted, you know. We love you. We like Jeff better. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Broken heart.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Now Jeff's got a broken heart.
Well,
now we know he is second place.
No, I wasn't. You are both good. Equally. Trying to make the situation better.
And our last question tonight from forum member Martin is, does Ken have any fan websites yet? Well, do you, Ken?
Well, I, if you're listening to people that have sort of asked and formed the official fan club on the Podcast on Fire website, I don't mean the following as anything, you know, insulting or anything, but I'm not sure whether or not you are joking with me or if you're actually admiring me. And I dare not believe in the latter. But I'm actually 99.99 and a few more decimals sure that I don't have any fan websites yet, and I don't know what the reason would be.
You've already got a fan forum, so come on, you're getting there.
Yeah, we're having great discussions about socks. So that tells you the admiration level. Sort of no mention of I like that review of that dramatic film. You really did a nice dissection of the themes and stuff. No such shit. No. We don't want to know about that. It's just your socks.
When Ken gets bitchy.
Well, I can't take any compliments, so it's seemingly obvious. I mean, I can imagine people just looking at the site every weekday and seeing sort of the mixture of, you know, serious reviews and films like Devil of Rape. You know, look at him. Look at him, his Category 3 films and his ninjas. Look how silly he is.
Damn him.
Well, to the series, I do appreciate any attention, because I only thrive on attention and nothing else. I have no other drive. Hence me being online for 6 years. It's just pure attention, pure admiration. my particular fuel. Well, you mentioned the last time that, you know, we run sort of underground sites, and I spoke about being very comfortable in that way, and attention is not something that I actually need for me to, you know, plow my own path. It's just fun to have that additional, you know, if you get noticed somewhat, then that's a good thing. That's enough motivation for the rare times that you sort of feel down on, you know, mm-hmm. Why should I write? Why should I exist? It actually reminds me of a South Park episode. If anyone saw, but one of the kids sort of doubted his existence in the world, and he actually doubted it to the point that he actually disappeared. He just disappeared. So the short answer is no.
Okay. Do you expect some now?
No, absolutely not. Maybe another post about the socks, and that's about as far as I can see in terms of expectations. There's a reason that this is a joke question to let you in on the behind-the-scenes shenanigans. It's not to be taken seriously at all. And you will find every comment online right now is about, you know, props to Andy Lau.
Yeah.
And what the hell were security guards thinking for, you know, trying to beat up poor fan.
Well, he can probably pull that off, though, because he's mostly robotics. I'm pretty sure the reason why Andy Lau doesn't age is because most of his body parts have been replaced. You know, he's half cyborg. I'm convinced.
Well, we didn't have an answer when we spoke about Andy Lau, why he's ageless. I think Mike is onto something.
Yeah.
And now the authorities will be knocking on your door, Mike, because you're onto the truth.
Yeah. So,
it's like an X-Files episode here. You know, the government knows now.
Some guys in black suits and shades are going to be chloroforming me and dragging me off somewhere.
With Andy Lau haircuts.
Yeah.
You'll just wake up, not remember anything, but having all this Andy Lau merchandise.
You've now converted some.
Yes.
Which
subliminal messaging?
A slight non sequitur, but who's your favourite twin? Obviously, I'm talking, of course, of the twins, which would be Charlene Choi and Gillian Chung, Kanto pop duo and actresses.
I'm probably leaning more towards Gillian Chung, due to mainly her work, mainly her role in Beyond Our Ken, which was pretty much beyond our own Ken.
Yeah. What would you say, Ken?
Actually, same, because I think she has... Her look will probably... I don't know if this makes sense at all, but I think she looks as if she can move on to, you know, more mature roles as she moves on, and Charlene Choi has sort of a girlish look still that doesn't, you know, make her a prime candidate for diverse roles, but I have to say this, she's very good alongside Eason Chan in Funeral March.
Right.
Which is very good drama overall. So, but overall, I think Gillian is my favourite and the one I think has the most options in front of her.
Nobody ever picks Charlene.
Well, I know one person that would, but...
Oh, really? Nobody I've ever spoke to has picked Charlene. Everybody goes for Gillian. For a few different reasons, but everybody goes for Gillian.
But what would your choice be then?
Yeah, Gillian.
Yeah,
based on nothing more than the fact that I think Gillian's far more attractive.
And that is also true.
Is Charlene in New Police Story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I seem to find her a little bit annoying in that.
Mm. But they're very good in there's only one movie I think they made that I think they're very good together in, and that is the gravely underrated Just One Look, which is the sort of a nostalgia piece as well. Anthony Wong is in it, and both of them play, I think, daughters of a kung fu teacher. It's played by Eric Kott. I think you would enjoy that, Mike. Eric Kott has several rants about the unrealistic nature of Shaw Brothers films.
Oh.
Because this film is set during this golden era of, you know, movie after movie after movie being shown in cinemas, to see them like pretty faithful replications of scenes from A Touch of Zen and stuff like that. It's a very cool movie for nostalgia, and the twins are, you know, they're quite good.
Sounds interesting.
And now that I think of it, I think Gillian was a separate character from Charlene. Charlene was the only daughter of Eric Kott's character. It's a very inspired role for him. I think it's very funny. He's talking about Chen Quan Tai performing Kung Fu unrealistically in Heroes 2, and really being vocal about it and passionate about it. And in the end, he actually takes his daughter to the cinemas and is very passionate about watching films. So he sort of has a hidden agenda. He actually likes it.
I'll definitely have a look for that one, Ken.
It's very good. Anthony Wong is superb in that film. One of his best films, where he's really comfortable. He's really, you know, the Anthony Wong that is, you know, one of the top three actors from Hong Kong. That's one of the roles where he's just in his element. It's about 30 seconds in or something. I'm rewatching it again.
Oh! Damn YouTube! Video just stopped just as he's about to jump. That's teasing me. Go on, Andy. Go on!
Yeah.
And to be fair, obviously, I've watched too many kung fu films. But when you were describing it, Ken, I was imagining some kind of, Huang Zhangli.
Fucking Buddha's palm!
Yeah, from the rooftop of a building, flying down.
Jesus. Did I sell it wrong then?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. He's flown a few fists there.
Indeed. It looked like they tried to... Although Andy Lau was on the same level there, they still tried to catch the fan, and he sort of tried to stop him, you know, 4 or 5 times. Just lay off. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, the security folks must have been, you know, scared to death when they saw him jump like that, you know.
I bet they didn't know what the hell to do. There was security at an Andy Lau concert, and then they turn around, and one of them's got Andy Lau punching him in the arm. What's going on?
We were just trying to beat him up, give him flowers. I mean, security is there for a reason, obviously, and, you know, they could have just let him out, but maybe they didn't see that he... Well, there's no excuse, really.
Yeah, because, clearly, on the front of the stage, Andy's shaking their hand and stuff, and everything's cool. Yeah.
And even if they didn't see that and just saw a fan, they could just escort him to the side. You know, maybe grab his arm slightly hard, I don't know. But, you know, not start beating them, kicking.
It kind of vaguely reminds me of Nirvana. Don't suppose either of you Nirvana fans.
I was a Nirvana fan, yeah. I've seen a video of... are you referring to the video where Kurt Cobain smashes his head into the head of a security guard?
When
it's crowd surfing.
Classic one, he jumps out crowd surfing and the security guard's getting a bit mental. Mm. And so on the way back in, Kurt smacks him on the head with his guitar.
Yeah, I have that.
And then the security guard goes nuts and tries to batter Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I believe it was included on that... I don't know if you saw it, but there was this live collection of, you know, from concerts
and
TV appearances. Yeah, exactly. Where they were around Jonathan Ross as well. They were going to play Lithium and ended up playing that Territorial Pissings or whatever the song was called.
Yeah.
entirely, you know, much more heavier song than.
And then smashed up their equipment and left the feedback going while Jonathan Ross is trying to do a link.
isn't that old by now? You know, smashing your guitars and knocking off amplifiers. I mean, you don't see that today, and even if you see it, that's corny. That's hokey.
Yeah, it depends on who does it and how they do it, I suppose. I gotta say that also those punches from Andy Lau, I was expecting, you know, I don't know, they're a little bit kind of slightly girly hammer fists. I was hoping for some, you know.
Well, it's jab. No his fault, like, Ching Tzu Tung wasn't there to choreograph the fight for him.
Damn you, Ching!
I'm sure some wire work would have made it a lot better, but still.
You know, considering what they've done with, you know, the Star Wars kid and stuff like that, maybe someone will do some post-production stuff on that clip.
Yeah.
Just having do a Buddhist palm. And
it'll probably just have, like, Street Fighter sound effects.
Yeah.
Maybe the sounds from the Bionic Man. Is that lost on both of you, see? Is that noise when he used to jump stuff? It'd go ching 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 ching. That's what he needs there when he's jumping.
You could even like hear Jaws theme just before he jumps.
And he's coming. That is pretty cool though. You gotta think, you know, Andy Lau fans are gonna lap that shit up, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Lau sees one of us, you know, getting abused, and he jumps in and kicks their ass. Teenage girls were are dreaming about that still in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the street getting picked on. Andy Lau jumps off from a massive grey big wall in his white suit and starts punching the bullies.
It's a movie waiting to happen. As well. No. Andy Lau says today. That would be the English title. Andy Lau says today.
Now, if I see a film...
A Wong Jing spoof.
If I see a film, possibly Swedish-based, with Andy Lau jumping in to save kids from bullies, I'm going to know you stole my idea, Ken.
And what are you going to do about it, then?
What, a bleached hair, Andy Lau?
Yeah, exactly. To mimic me. Because I'm just like Andy Lau. It's perfect sense.
They'll just be telling you next year this time. Wong Jing film, there'll just be a shot with Eric Sang doing a stage dive and missing. Then he'll go back to his wee squealy voice saying, I tried but I failed.
Squealing like a pig.